Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for these strong words, words of Isaiah and words of James, as you call us to be consistent with who we are in Christ, to walk worthy of that calling with which you have called us, being worthy of the name that has been placed upon us, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we ask, O Lord, for the work of your Spirit today, that we would be good listeners, hearers of the word, and doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So we ask, O Lord, for the work of your Spirit. We pray, O Lord, that you would enable us to not be distracted by many thoughts that come and go. Help us to be good listeners and doers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, a number of years ago, there was a movement based on a book. Some of you maybe have heard of the book. The book was called In His Steps. Well, you probably heard the effect of it because it was marketed really well. You ever remember hearing the statement, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD. Do you remember that? Some of you remember that. Okay. And so it got so popular that in the Christian bookstores you had WWJD t-shirts and WWJD baseball caps and all. Well, one time an old fellow was in the store and he asked, "Well, what is WWJD on that $30 baseball cap? Well, what does that mean?" And he said, "What would Jesus do?" And the old man said, "Well, first of all, you wouldn't buy that baseball cap at $30. What would Jesus do? And I remember during that time, to correct that, I would say, what did Jesus do? Is that more important, first of all? What did Jesus do? And then secondly, what would Jesus have me do? Is a little bit different there. So one of the things that, as I thought about this, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom. Now, here is the wisdom of God who grew in wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the skill in living, knowing what to do and how to do it. Well, how did Jesus as a child grow or learn to know what to do? He had, first of all, to listen. He had to be a good listener. Remember that in the time when there wasn't a whole lot of Bibles, and there may be one Bible in town, and that was in the synagogue. So how did you get the Bible? You had to go to the synagogue and you had to sit and listen while somebody read it. If you had a Bible or so, what we were encouraged to do was to meditate in it. What does that mean? To repeat it back to yourself. Well, as you're repeating the Bible back to yourself, what's involved besides your mouth? It's your ears. You are hearing what you're saying from the Word of God. And so Jesus grew in wisdom through being a good listener and putting that knowledge, that understanding, into practice, which is wisdom. So my question to you this morning is, what kind of listener are you? In one book that I had on my shelf, I pulled it off, the author says there's three kinds of listeners or listening. How are you doing in this one? Listening in spurts, tuning in and tuning out. You have that problem. I do. At times I'm right on and sometimes I'm off on a tangent. He refers to it as half listening or quiet passive listening. Listening but not responding. Little effort is made to listen, actually. Hearing is going on but very little listening occurs. Is that your listening style? Second level. Hearing sounds and words, but not really listening. They are trying to hear what the speaker is saying, but they aren't making an effort to understand the speaker's intent. They remain emotionally detached from the conversation, listening but not participating in the interaction. And he goes on to say, this level of listening can be dangerous because misunderstanding can occur. So do you listen? You hear the words, you hear the sounds, but you're not really listening. The third is active listening. On this level, refrain from evaluating the speaker's words and place themselves in the other's position, attempting to see things from the other's point of view. Taking the main ideas, acknowledging and responding, not letting oneself be distracted, paying attention to the speaker's total communication, suspending one's own thoughts and feelings to give attention solely to listening. Are you an active listener? Basically, how are you doing? How do you do on a given Sunday? How often do you check out and then come back? And check out and come back? Or you hear the words, wah, 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 wah. There's noise that's going on up front. What kind of listener are you? God in Christ, for the grace of God, was a good listener, and he is for us as well. My main point is there in the bulletin. When God speaks, he expects us not only to listen, but also to do what he says. A rebellious servant is defined as one who knows his master's will and does not do it. Are we rebellious servants? Do we listen to do? And so we've been working through, as a matter of fact, as I stopped and went back at a number of the sermons, we were working through Genesis, we worked through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. We spent a whole lot of time in Joshua, remember, at least a year. And if you remember, what did I start, when we were in Joshua, what did I start almost every sermon saying? The context is walking with Jesus. Isn't that what God has called us to do? Isn't life walking with Jesus? Right. So the book of James, where we're at, is James saying, well, here's how you walk with Jesus. In the school of Christ, you're a student, a disciple. How do you do in the school of Christ? Well, one of the things that Jesus does is he tests us. He strengthens our faith like a muscle. But the muscle is tested by different things that we go through, different trials. And so James starts off with saying, count it all joy when you go through various trials. Right? You are so precious to Christ that he wants to make you like himself. And to do that, he has to strengthen you to be able to deal with other things in the future, to be more like Christ. Like we said, this is James attempting to fulfill Jesus' discipleship mandate, which says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And so James is trying to do that. But also what we've been saying is that it's James' way also of trying to make you more reflective of the family resemblance of Jesus Christ. Just like in families, where people look like, yeah, the son or the daughter looks like the mom and the dad. So James, who is the brother of Jesus, is desiring for us to reflect Jesus. And so as we go on, we hit this really powerful statement in our text today. Be not hearers of the word, but doers. Here, what does it say? Be not... be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Is it easy to deceive yourself? To convince yourself that, hey, I'm doing okay. I read the Bible, I hear the preaching, I'm doing okay. Well, the two questions I have in the outline, number one is, how well do you receive God's word? In verses 21, he says negatively, put off, throw off, and positively, receive. How do you receive God's word? When you read the Bible or you come to church to listen to a sermon. So the first thing is, what should you do before you come to church? Do you do any preparation
before you come to church.
He says, putting aside or laying aside or putting off the all filthiness. What is he talking about? Is he saying, before you come to church, you better wash your hands, take a shower, get clean up? No, he's talking about what? He's talking about sin in its many forms. Paul writes it this way, put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. How do you get renewed in the spirit of your mind? By his word. It is what washes us and renews us. And so, the week before, I tell you where we're going to be this week, right? Last week's bulletin says, read chapter 1 of James. Why? Because that's what we're going to be. Did you read it this week? Did you prepare? Did you put off the overflow of wickedness? Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. Put off overflow of wickedness. He's talking about heart sins. He's talking about God's divine pruning. He's talking about besetting sins. Are you aware of your besetting sins? Do you confront them? Do you deal with them? I'm so tempted to talk about mine, but I won't do that. If you want to know my besetting sins, come see me afterwards. I'll tell you. Secondly, before hearing, what about during hearing? He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. The word of God is like a scalpel. Right? He says, the word of God is what in Hebrews? Like a sword. Two-edged sword. Sharp. Able to cut down and separate the marrow from the bone. You know how hard that is to separate marrow from bone? It's all intermingled. It's almost impossible to carve and separate the two. But yet the Word of God is sharper than that. Sharper than the sharpest scalpel. It is able to cut and heal. Here it's referred to as the engrafted Word. That is able to save your soul. Engrafted like a branch engrafted into the tree. Right? God's word is engrafted into us and brings forth life. So are you listening with your ears or with your heart? Is your shield up? I'm very guarded, Pastor. I don't know about what you're talking about here. I feel very convicted right now, and so my shield is up. I don't want to hear this. Don't tell me about my sin. Is your shield up? Or are you praying, Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant has come to listen? Is that your attitude? Is that why you're here? Lord, I want to hear you speak from heaven through your word. Speak, Lord. As Samuel said to Eli, for your servant is here to listen. Are you listening with your heart? Lord, plant your word into my heart that I won't sin against you. Plant your word into my heart that when I leave this place and I'm driving back home, I'm thinking about it. Or during the week, I stop and I think about you and I think about what you're saying to me today. After hearing the word, are you a botanist or a farmer? What do I mean by that? What does a botanist do? A botanist studies plants. Do you stand back and study what God has said through His Word and go, oh, that's really interesting? Or do you take that Word and you plant it? And you practice it? And you do it? As James says. Are you a scientist, a botanist, or a farmer? What do you do with what you hear? One fellow who was not really known for being a believer, Mark Twain. Anybody ever read Mark Twain? Well, Mark Twain said it this way. Most people are bothered by those passages in Scripture which they cannot understand. The Scripture which troubles me most is the Scripture I do understand. I thought that was a very good statement. Do you understand His Word? Well, sometimes it troubles you. It should. Just like a scalpel should trouble you. Many years ago, I was on vacation. I went to a place in Montana called Mount Top Retreat, and they had a pastor and his wife on staff to minister. It's specifically designed to minister to pastors, missionaries, and elders, whatever, church officers. And so I was in the main room, and this pastor walks in, and he starts to introduce himself and is talking to me, and I realize, uh-oh, he's getting ready to do heart surgery on me without my permission. And he was asking me questions, and he was going deeper and deeper, and he was hitting the heart. And I was getting really offended. I didn't say you could do this, but I know that I need it, probably. And he asked me some very searching questions, which I have stayed with me all these years. And every once in a while, I ask them of myself. Are you willing and do you have a heart to hear what the Spirit, when He wants to do heart surgery on you? Yeah, I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. But it's probably for my good, right? Just like surgery. You have cancer and the doctor says, well, I can get that cancer if you let me. We have sin that needs to be cut out. What do we do after we hear? Do we do it? That's what the question is. Here's the test. Notice what he says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man observing his natural face in a mirror, and he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. So do we come to the Word of God? Do we come to church and we see and we rejoice in what God has in His Word, and we see our sin, we see our Savior, we see what He's calling us to do, and we rejoice in it, and then we walk away, we leave this place, we get in the car, and nothing changed. We respond to situations at work, at home, the same way as we did on Saturday, on Monday. No impact. Just like the man who looks in the mirror and then says, I can't remember what I look like. Right? I forgot about... But, he says, but he looks into the perfect law of liberty. Isn't that a wonderful way to think of the Bible? The Bible is the perfect law of liberty. If you want to live free, if you want to walk free, if you want to be alive and free, look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. And not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You want to be blessed in what you do? Working at Walmart? Working in the oil field? Working with your kids? Working, dealing with neighbors, dealing with people at the pantry. Use this as a mirror. That's what God has given us. So how do we do it? How do you do God's Word? Well, notice in our text, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is vain. Calvin says that the obedience is the mother of all true knowledge of God. So how do we do it? Number one, with your tongue. Notice it says in our text, he who thinks he is religious, he that is producing or doing outward acts of worship. Did you notice that in our text this morning in Isaiah? God was pretty upset about his people offering sacrifices according to the law, but their heart wasn't there. Right? Did you hear those words? What he had to say? My soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. Those are pretty strong language, right? God says,
you're doing the right thing, you're not doing it rightly. Your heart's not in it.
I'm tired of it. So what does he say in our text? How do you deal with, how do you do it? He says the first thing is, do you bridle your tongue? Does Scripture guide your speech?
We heard last week what the passage James says, what? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Okay, right in the middle there, slow to speak. How'd you do this week in the test of your tongue test, your speech test? Were you slow to speak? Well, whether you were or not, you had that in your mind. Hopefully, if you're listening, you heard that. Okay? And I hope and pray that you were challenged by it in the sense of saying, while speaking, that was in the back of your mind at least, saying, okay, am I slow to speak? Is this the proper time to speak? Should I wait? Whatever. That right there is an evidence of bridling your tongue. This is so important that James is going to spend a whole chapter on this in chapter 3 and more in chapter 4. So we'll be looking more on this. Is this a challenge? Is it a challenge to guard your mouth? To shut up? To listen and then speak? And to be guarded by what you say? With the mind to saying, what I say, is this what God wants me to say? Is this proper? Is this edifying? So how do we do? We do with our tongue. Secondly, how do we do with our action? God is the Father to the fatherless. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? That apart from God, you're fatherless? Yes, we have a physical father. Well, better yet, what does it say? If God is not your father, then who is?
Satan.
The devil. Does God have mercy, though, on the fatherless? And the answer is yes. Again and again, in the Old Testament,
Israel was called to care for orphans and widows. Those that couldn't help themselves.
In that society, there was no social security. There was no estate help. No disability. If you were disabled, if you were unable, you died. Unless somebody came alongside and took you in and fed you and cared for you. And so what does it say here? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. It's not just to visit them, but it's to help them. Visit them, to help them. To care for them, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So do we care for those that are hurting? A number of years ago, there was a bus driver who was annoyed with his job because he had to wait 7 minutes every run near an open field which litter bugs had made into an unofficial dump. He often thought that somebody should do something about that unsightly mess. One day he himself decided to get out and pick up some of the tin cans and other debris that were lying around. This improved things so much that he soon was eager to complete his route and spend all his free time moments in cleaning up the area. When spring came, he was so enthusiastic about this project that he decided to sow some flower seeds. By the end of the summer, many were riding to the end of the line just to see what the motorman had accomplished by doing what he and others had only talked about before. The author writes, "This article reminded me of the tremendous gap that often exists in many churches between preaching and practice. Many who know what they believe cause us to wonder if they really believe what they know. An intellectual awareness of the truth is not enough. Belief must take fruit in action." Interesting. Oh, somebody needs to fix that problem.
Well, maybe your being aware of the problem is God's calling for you to be part of the solution. Right? It's easy to find faults. It's easy to complain. It's another thing to actually go out and do something about it.
In our passage, he's talking about orphans and widows. How can you do God's word? Look for ways. One of the blessings that we have here in this city is the Amen Food Pantry. There are a couple hundred families that are being fed monthly. Just enough opportunity. For some of you, you maybe even have gone there. If not, they're always in need of volunteers. It's a way of helping people in need. Just one, threw that one out. Many ways we could do that. But here's the most important. How well do you do God's word with the heart? Notice it says, keep oneself unspotted from the world. Or another way of saying it is avoid thinking and acting in accordance with the value system of the society around us.
How influenced are you and me by the thinking of the world? I think we try to say, no. I'm different. I'm trying to.
But how does a fish understand water?
The fish doesn't even know what water is. It's everywhere. We live in a society and there are many things that we just take for granted.
That would be offensive in another culture or another time. I had a friend who went to the Congo and spent 2 or 3 weeks in the Congo. And as he was flying back and he flew through Europe and then he came into the States, he was shocked and offended by the advertisement on the billboards in Europe and in the States. He had been 3 weeks in an environment where women wore dresses and were very modest and all that. And then he's seeing these things on the billboard and he says, wow, this is pornography in comparison. We're immune to that, aren't we? We are in our culture.
Keep oneself unspotted from the world. Avoid thinking and acting in accordance with the value system of the world society around.
What's going to happen? People are going to look at you and think you're strange. Right? Why don't you do why aren't you joking with us? Let's laugh. Oh, let's use the Lord's name in vain and laugh about it.
No, it offends me. Stop doing that. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're playing with when you take the Lord's name in vain? No, I'm not going to join you.
Keep your heart with all diligence, Scripture says, Proverbs 4:23. For out of it spring the issues of life. Paul says, in response to the gospel, what does Paul say? Present your body a living sacrifice. What about your mind? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that your mind is different than the mind before and the mind around you. Proving what is good and perfect will of God.
James will develop this thought about guarding the heart in chapters 4 and 5 in our book as we work our way through.
In conclusion, since we're basing off of the words of Jesus, it might be good for us to hear what Jesus had to say. We read one of those earlier before the service. Jesus speaking in chapter 7, or recorded in chapter 7, verse 24.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like him, is likened him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock.
Are you a wise man? Do you take God's word? Is it the foundation of your life? What's going to happen when the tests come, when the trials come? And beat on the house, beat on your life. It'll stand. And then he goes on to say, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he is like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand.
What happens if you build your house on the sand and there's an earthquake or a storm? That house is going to come crumbling down. It's like the three little pigs, right? The straw house versus the house made of stone.
Which one are you? Are you a hearer of the word and a doer? Again, it's recorded in Luke chapter 8. Jesus says the following. And I'll close with this. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Now it came to pass afterwards, he went throughout every city and village, preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, and Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who provided for him and their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke to them a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell on among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, do you have ears to hear? What kind of seed, what kind of ground are you? What will the seed do? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know a lot of these things. We've heard these before. We've read them. And many times we've forgotten. And we ask that you forgive us for that. To forget the words of our Savior, of our Lord. We are unprofitable servants. We pray, O Lord, that you do that work in our hearts, that we would be quick to hear, that we would desire to know, to understand, and to be able to do what you say. And so we pray, O Lord, for that work. We thank you, Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness, that he heard and did in our place. We thank you for that, Jesus, that we are righteous in you. But yet you also call us to righteousness, to piety. And so we ask, O Lord, for the work of your Spirit, that we would be fruitful for the glory of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.